We just finished up a 2.5 year study of the Gospel of Matthew here at Mars Bible Church and studying the life and the words of our King Jesus. Maybe for some of you that are here today during that study of Matthew, sometime as we were going through there, you gave your life to Christ and put your faith in Him, and He forgave your sins and brought you into His family. I know there's some like that. And so maybe as you're starting off your life as a Christian, you're thinking, well, now what? I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. What do I do? Actually, at the end of Matthew, Jesus addresses this very specifically. We turn over back a couple of books to Matthew 28. How do we follow Jesus once we have come to know Him and had our sins forgiven? Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. This is after Jesus rose from the dead, but before He ascended to heaven, where He now sits at God's right hand. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What are we supposed to do after we have believed in Jesus? If we love Him, we are to make disciples. Now, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. So if you are a believer today, your mission is to follow Jesus and help others follow Him until He returns. But what does that look like? What does it look like to follow Jesus? As we look at these verses, we find a couple of indications as to what we're to do. One, all of Jesus' followers are to be baptized to show they belong to Him. Secondly, we are supposed to teach Jesus' followers to obey all of Jesus' commands, which we do here at Lamar's Bible Church, but there are a lot of commands, right? The Bible's kind of a big book. Is there a way for us to kind of summarize what it looks like to follow Jesus? Over the past few months, the pastors, with some input from the elders, we've been brainstorming on this question. What are the essentials of following Jesus? What are the things, if I was going to talk to a member of Lamar's Bible Church that loves Jesus and say, this is what we want you to do, what would that look like? So as we were having this discussion, we came up with this diagram. We're pretty excited about it. It's not inspired. The Bible's inspired. But we feel like it's a good summary of what a Christian life looks like, the life of a follower of Jesus. We feel like it helps us in a couple of ways. One, it gives a picture of what the life of an individual follower of Jesus is like. And also, it shows us what the church is to be doing. As Lamar's Bible Church, what kinds of things are we to focus on as we follow Jesus together? So this diagram is called the life of a disciple. And if you are artistically inclined, today is your Sunday. You see your hand out there in front of you. If you have it, there's blank circles. What's going to happen with each of these circles? There's areas in which we are to actively follow Jesus, right? So each of the circles, there's going to be a little picture, and you get to draw the picture in, fill in your circle and a description of that. And at the end, we'll have six pictures and kind of a image of what it looks like to follow Jesus. If you're not artistically inclined like me, that's okay. I understand. So the life of a disciple. The central circle on this diagram is in the center on purpose. The very center of following Jesus, the beginning of following Jesus, and the heart of it is knowing Christ. And so you can draw a little guy or lady, if whatever goes with you. They are kneeling, and the words "knowing Christ." Do you know you can't follow Jesus at all until you know Him personally? You can't follow Him until you know Him. And so LBC, as a church, we encourage every person to receive Jesus by faith. So many people have this idea of religion, of how to please God. They think, okay, so here's what I do. I have all these things. This list of things. I'm going to try to be really, really good. And if I'm good enough, then I'll get in. But that's not how the Bible presents it. Actually, here's how the Bible presents it. None of us are good enough to be in. We're all sinners. We're separated from Him. We can never make it. But Jesus wants you to be in. And so Jesus has died for you. And He offers you just free of a relationship with Him. And so the the start of religion, the start of a relationship with God is I come to Jesus and I say, Jesus, I can't be good enough. Will you forgive me and give me life? And if you will reach out to him, he's already reached out to you in Christ. You can know him personally. Let me show you a couple of verses. Let's turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John 1, verse 12. John 1, 12 is a verse that talks about receiving Jesus by faith and then becoming his child. John 1, 12. See there it says in God's word, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. We just want everybody in the world to know that you can receive Christ and you can have a relationship with him today. You just have to reach out to him in faith and he'll forgive your sins right now and you can know him. So LBC encourages every person to receive Jesus Christ by faith. But then once you have received him and you've become his child and you have a relationship with him, your sins are forgiven, you're on your way to heaven. Once that's happened, you know, your relationship with Christ always is the center of following him. It's never about what I do to try to earn his favor. Always at the very heart of following Jesus is knowing him personally. So after a person receives Jesus, we encourage every member in practices like daily Bible reading and prayer that will help them in their relationship with him. Turn over. You're in John in your Bibles. Go ahead a few more chapters to John 15. Look at John chapter 15, verse 4. John 15, 4. I told the people first service, as a pastor, I love to hear pages flipping in Bibles because I know people are following with me. If you have a digital Bible that you're following along with, when you're moving it, you have to go with your mouth so that I know you're coming with us. All right. So John, but then they did first. Don't, that's a joke. Okay. You guys would have figured that out by yourselves. John 15, look at verses 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, Jesus says. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. One of my heroes, one of the great followers of Jesus in history is this man. His name is George Mueller. Mueller's famous now for his life of faith and for starting orphanages in Bristol, England. In his day, there was kids living on the street, so many orphans, and there was no help for them. And so he saw their plight and prayed and started orphanages. And in his lifetime, George Mueller cared for 10,000 orphans in Bristol. So how do you get to be a follower of Jesus like that? What's important in your life? This is what Mueller says is the most important for him as he followed Jesus. Listen to what he says. Mueller said, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man may be nourished. I saw that the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation on it. See, Mueller knew that he needed to have a close relationship with Christ, and so he would start every day by opening up his Bible and reading it and talking to the Lord about what he read and then pouring out his problems to the Lord and asking for him to provide for him and all of the orphans that he was caring for. And he would do this until in the morning he would find his soul happy in the Lord, like I've trusted the Lord with this and I'm in a good place. And so then from that happiness, from that closeness with God, then he would go out and he would serve Jesus out of that relationship. And we at Lamar's Bible Church agree with George Mueller that at this very center of following Jesus Christ is a relationship with him. And everything else follows out of that. And that's why we do things like church Bible reading plans and encourage you to be memorizing scripture. And just, we try to encourage you in your own personal walk, because from there, all the rest of this will flow. The beginning of following Jesus is knowing him, and then the heart of following Jesus is knowing him. But there's other things that are essential if we're going to follow Jesus that he commands us to do. The next one we want to talk about is gathering. So in that little circle, you can draw a pulpit, is what that is, with the Bible on the top of it. We chose a pulpit as our picture because a central part of what followers of Jesus are to do when we gather to worship is to hear the Bible and teach the Bible. It's God speaking to us. And so we gather around it. Jesus calls each of us to gather with the believers in our local church and to worship him. I've often had conversations with people who say things to me like, well, I can follow Jesus better on my own. I follow Jesus better if I'm walking in the woods with my Bible and I can pray and I can read it and I don't have to deal with all the conflict that comes from all these relationships and the hypocrisy that I see in the church. I feel like I can follow Jesus better without trying to be part of a church. Well, what about that? Can you really follow Jesus without being part of a local body of Christ? The answer of the Bible is no. If you're not gathering with other believers for worship, then you're disobeying Christ. Turn with me in your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 10. Go past all of Paul's letter, past the T's, Thessalonians and Timothy and Titus. We go to Hebrews chapter 10. And we find a verse where the Lord tells us we need to gather with other Christians. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24 says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So LBC encourages every member to seek to be a regular part of our Sunday morning gathering. At this gathering, we hear the word of God, sing, pray, give, baptize believers, and celebrate communion together. Now, we understand some people have to work on Sunday mornings to provide for their family. That's just the way that it falls for them. And we agree it's appropriate to go visit your grandkids sometimes, or go on vacation sometimes. But all of these things that we do when we gather as a church on Sunday mornings, all of these things are commands of Jesus. He's told us as our Lord that we are to sing together, to pray together, to give, to baptize believers, to celebrate communion together. And so someone who chooses not to be at Sunday morning worship when they could is choosing to disobey a multitude of commands that are there for them from their Lord who wants them to follow him. So what's it look like to follow Jesus? What are the essentials that every Christian is called to? So we start with knowing Christ. Otherwise, the rest of this doesn't matter, right? It starts with knowing him. And then it goes to gathering. And the next thing we want to talk about is fellowship. Fellowship. The word fellowship, it just means sharing your life with someone else. And in a Christian setting, it's sharing your life in Christ with someone else. And Jesus calls each of us to share our lives with other believers. He wants his church to be a spiritual family that truly knows and cares for one another. Okay, turn over in your Bibles now to Romans chapter 12. We're going to Romans 12. We were in Acts earlier, just right before that. Romans 12, we're going to verse 10. The Lord calls us to fellowship. Look at Romans 12:10. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The Lord knows, he's made us as humans. He knows that we work best as humans when we're surrounded by a group of people that are devoted to us and we are to them, right? And so the Lord's made human families with a mom and dad and kids. He's made this family. And what's the joy of a family for us? It's that I know these people are committed to me. Right? Maybe we're not always getting along, but I know when I go home at the end of the day, like, these are my people, and we are going to be there for each other. And God's made us to function like this. You know, in some countries around the world, some of them we looked at this week with VBS, in some countries, if you say, okay, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus, you'll be disowned by your family. And then what? The Lord intends for the Church of Jesus Christ to be a family like that where as I come to gather together with the other Christians, we are I know they're devoted to me and I'm devoted to them. And so throughout the Bible, you find it referring to us Christians as brothers and sisters. And is it because we want to be weird and churchy? No, that's not the idea. The idea is just that I'm devoted to you. So are you devoted to your brothers and sisters at Lamar's Bible Church? Maybe you say, well, no, but no one else is devoted to me either. Well, listen, each one of us, you are called to be devoted to the people in your local church. And so LBC encourages every member to pursue genuine, committed relationships with other members. We're in Romans 12. Look down just a couple of verses to verse 15. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, to obey that command, you have to know other believers well. So that if they're hurting, you know them well enough so that you hurt with them. Or if something is joyous in their lives, you know these people and it's just exciting for you to rejoice with them along with it. Their joys make you smile. So are you pursuing genuine, committed relationships with other members of your local church? Say, well, how do I do that? I want that. I want to have meaningful relationships with other people. I don't know how to pursue it. One of the ways that this happens, we at LBC, a lot of churches, we've set ourselves up so we have different sizes of gatherings, right? So we have a large gathering here, a Sunday morning, and we ought to all gather together. But it's hard to get to know everybody. There's a bunch of us. There's two different services at LBC. So in addition to large gatherings, we also have medium-sized gatherings. Medium-sized gatherings like Sunday night church or our adult Bible fellowships, the Sunday school classes, Lift for the women, men's breakfast for the guys. And these medium-sized gatherings are places where you can kind of get to know what's going on in the lives of other people and where they're at and what their family's like. And out of those kind of medium-sized groups, it's a lot easier to go up to someone then and say, hey, Sunday, you guys want to come over and have dinner with us after church? Or let's get together and go fishing, or let's go play disc golf, or let's bring our kids and meet at the park. Or, boy, I'm supposed to serve in nursery. Can you do my spot for me? Because I'm going to be out of town. Like, if you're just here Sunday mornings, it's going to be awfully hard to dig into deeper relationships. But so we have three sizes of gatherings. There's this one, the Sunday morning gathering. There's medium-sized gatherings. And then we also have small gatherings. For the last 20 years or so at Lamar's Bible Church, our small gatherings, we call them flocks. And actually this year we're planning to, because we were praying about how we can strengthen fellowship in our church, we're planning to kind of tweak the way we do our small groups a little bit. Instead of having flock groups, this fall we're going to be starting what we call discipleship groups. And in these discipleship groups, we're going to break down into groups of 3 to 5 people, and they're going to be gender-based. So 3 to 5 men, 3 to 5 women. And what that does for us is it gives us a little more flexibility. One of the problems we had with the flock group structure is our main night was Wednesday night, and that was Awana, and people are serving, and you can only do one thing at a time. But if you have a smaller group, and it's men with men and women with women, they can kind of pick a time to meet that works for them. And the idea is just to get to know one another, walk side each other, and have these relationships that are meaningful as we grow. So you'll be hearing more about that, but that's something we're really excited about that's coming in the fall. What's it look like to follow Jesus? Knowing Christ, gathering, fellowship, and next, service. Now, I am not able to draw this. So when I do the service thing, I just do a couple of hands reaching out. But whatever skill level you have, you want to draw something that's indicating somebody reaching out. That what goes into that square. Jesus calls us to serve other believers and help them follow him. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. Going over to 1 Peter, so we go past Hebrews and James. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to verse 10. First Peter 4, look at verses 10 and 11. It says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. The clear teaching of the Bible is that every one of us who know him, we've been given by him a special gift, it says in 1 Peter. All of us have been given something that we're good at, for the good of others. For some of you, you're gifted at teaching. Others of you are especially gifted at giving. Or some of you are great at encouraging others and exhorting others in private conversation. Some of you are great leaders. Some of you are You love to work behind the scenes, and that is encouraging to you, and you do it well. Others of you are so good at showing compassion to those that are hurting. These are all gifts that God has given to you to build up other people. But the command of Scripture is that God has given us these gifts so that we can help others. So LBC encourages every member to use the unique abilities God has given them to serve other believers. Some will do this through organized ministries and others by taking personal initiative. Right, so we have a lot of organized ministries that need servants. Never answer the phone if it's Jake, because he's going to be asking you to serve. Right? No, sometimes he's just calling to check up and encourage people. We need nursery workers. We need people to lead discipleship groups. We need people to help with children's ministry. We need ushers. We need people to work in the sound. So there's lots of places to serve. And some of you are gifted in ways that it's such a blessing to the body that you do that. Or our over 100 volunteers at Vacation Bible School this last week. What a praise to God that people willingly wanted to come and give their week. But not all service is like that, where there's a ministry and you sign up for it. Some of it's just, maybe you know there's a widow that lives near you that's a believer, and you go out to her house and see if there's anything that's broken and you can fix. Or maybe you know somebody lost a loved one, and so you call them up and just speak some words of encouragement, tell them, hey, I've been there, keep trusting in Christ, or write them a card. It doesn't have to be organized by the church, but all of us, Jesus has called all of us to serve other Christians so we can help each other follow Jesus. It's an essential part of following Jesus. I knew a lady that moved to a new town and started to attend a new church. And as she was meeting people, they're always introducing themselves, you know, and how long have you lived here and where do you work and that sort of thing. This lady at this new church, she would always ask the people, how do you serve in the church? And it was great. She got to know people. I do Sunday school, or I help. But a lot of people, if they're asked that, how do you serve in the church? They're like, well, I used to, hey, don't want to find yourself in that position. Don't be caught off guard if somebody asks you that. It's an essential part of following Jesus to serve other believers. What's it look like to follow Jesus? What things are essential in the life of a disciple? It starts with knowing Christ. It's where it's at. And the rest of this flows out of that. So then we gather and we fellowship and we serve other Christians. Next circle is outreach. Outreach. Jesus calls each of us to reach out to those who do not yet know Jesus and seek to bring them to Him. On this diagram, as we drew it out, the difference between outreach and service. Service, I'm serving other believers. Outreach, I'm reaching out to people that don't know Christ with the idea that I want to introduce them to Him. Turn over with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. We actually read this verse last week. This first one talks about the transformation that Jesus does in us when we trust in Him. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Okay, so then what? What if I've trusted in Christ and He's made me new? Now what do I do? Look at verse 18. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are all ambassadors of Christ. We are all sent out to bring people to Him. I was homeschooled in high school. One of the things in Lincoln that was going on for homeschoolers, there was a speech class, and so I signed up for this homeschool speech class. I got an A-. People were surprised I did that well. So we're taking the speech class, and one of the assignments that our teacher gave to us, we were supposed to write a speech on why does God leave people on earth when He saves them? Why wouldn't God just, when we get saved, take us to heaven? So there's about 8 of us in the class, and we all wrote 5-minute speeches on why God leaves us on earth when He saves us. And I think I wrote mine kind of on we can give glory to God in our lives here. After we all finished our speeches, the teacher got up and she rebuked us and she said, listen, I just heard 8 speeches on why God leaves Christians on earth when he saves them. And nobody said anything about sharing the gospel. And she said, well, all those things that you guys wrote your speeches on, we can do all those things in heaven. But right now, why does God leave us here? It's because we're surrounded by people that don't know him yet. And we are the ones that are supposed to tell them. The reason we're left on earth is to reach out and tell people about Christ so they can come to him. And I just always remember that, like, yeah, that's it. That's why we're here. And so a key part of knowing Christ is outreach. We, as elders, when we were going through this diagram and talking about what do we do as a church, we talked about that one area we would like to see us grow in is outreach. And it's not that we're not doing things to try to reach people that don't know Christ in our community. I mean, we're going to have a chapel at the start of Ragby. We're excited about that. And we're walking in the parade and handing out information about how to know Christ. But we don't believe that the most effective way to reach out to unbelievers is to have lots of programs as a church where you're doing evangelistic programs. We don't think that's the most effective way. We believe that the most effective way to reach lost people is for every Christian to see it as their calling. For every Christian to be like, you know what? I live to tell people about Christ. And if we will scatter and in all the relationships that we're in, we're talking about Christ and inviting people to come to Christ and looking for, and praying for people to come to know him. That is where the gospel is going to spread and explode way more than if just the church does programs. And so part of following Jesus, he's called all of us to, not just some, but all of us are to be involved in reaching out to unbelievers with the gospel. Look here, outreach. So we're reaching out to those who don't yet know Jesus. LBC encourages every member to reach out to unbelievers, both in our community and in those nations that have little or no access to the good news. Well, we have a responsibility here. I feel like if we're doing our job, it should be hard to live in Lamar's and not hear about Jesus, right? Because there's so many of us, if we're all talking about him, right? We have a responsibility to make sure the good news gets out here. But we have a responsibility that goes beyond that, too. And the video that Christy showed this morning highlights that. I mean, there's so many people that just don't have access to the gospel. And so while we're reaching out to those around us with the gospel, we're always have an eye on the ends of the earth. And we got to send people over there so that they, too, can hear about Jesus. And so we want to do both. Be involved in both as followers of Jesus. We call that missions, going to the end of the world with the gospel. So what's it look like to follow Jesus? It starts with knowing him, and that's always the center. Then there's gathering, fellowship, service, outreach. One more area is family. Family. Jesus calls each of us to follow him in our family lives. He spells out unique roles for husbands, wives, parents, and children. You should be able to walk into a Christian home and pick up very quickly something is different here. Because Jesus has much to say about our family and how a Christian family is to live. If we went and read Ephesians 5 and 6 this morning, we would find that Jesus calls husbands to love and to lead in their homes. We'll find that Jesus calls wives to respect and submit to their husbands. Jesus calls parents to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Jesus calls children to obey and honor their parents. If you want to follow Jesus, the place that it starts is in your home. These things that Jesus teaches about the family and what our roles are, nobody else teaches that anymore, right? But we're followers of Jesus, and so we ought to look different. LBC encourages every family to regularly read the Bible together, to pray together, to make Jesus the center of their family lives. Well, if there's a husband and a wife, and they want to follow Jesus together, what should that look like? Well, part of it should be that husband and wife regularly sitting down and praying together. Wouldn't it be? They're following Jesus together. And yet, how many of us do that every day in our marriages? What would it look like if a whole family wants to follow Jesus together? Well, part of that ought to be that in the home, on a very regular basis, they open up the Bible together and they say, hey, let's listen to what Jesus says to us today. And they read it and put it into practice. It ought to be just the whole family knows, listen, we follow Jesus here. The Bible's open in our house. And so the things we do and the things we don't do and how we treat each other and what we're about, it all comes out of this book. And because we follow Jesus. And now maybe you object and say, now wait, Mike, why do we have to be opening the Bible so much in our homes? Isn't it the church's job to teach our kids about Jesus? Isn't it Derek's job to make sure the teenagers follow him? The answer is no. We do have children's ministries here at LBC. It's one of the joys of being in this church. I love it. But our children's ministries aim to support parents in their role as the primary disciple makers in their families. So we are here, families, to strongly support you as you follow Jesus, but we've got a backup role in this. The mom and dad are to take the lead in this, and we want to help you in it. So the life of a disciple. Now, this diagram, like I said, it's not inspired, and there's things you could think of to add to it, but we feel like it's a pretty good summary of kind of the essentials. What's it look like for an individual who wants to follow Jesus? What should their life look like? And even a church, what should the church be emphasizing and teaching to their people and helping their people with? One thing I like about this diagram is that it pushes us, I think, towards balance in our Christians' lives. We all can tend to get out of balance. Has it ever happened to you where you're so focused on the outer ring that you've lost track of the center and your relationship with Christ is waning even while you're working hard for him? Some Christians have said, I need to spend more time with my family, and so they've quit coming to church and found that actually that's caused harm to their families in the end run. We can't just pick one. The other side of that, some people have been so busy serving in the church and reaching out and fellowshipping and gathering that they don't spend time with their wife and their kids, and they don't pray at home, and that's caused harm because they're missing a very important part of following Jesus. A lot of us, what can happen? We get so busy serving other Christians that we don't know any non-believers anymore. Like I don't have anybody that I could share the gospel with because all I'm ever with is Christians, and we're missing part of a central part of what Jesus calls us to as Christians. And so as we close our service today, I want you to take a minute and just talk to your Lord, as Jesus that we're following, and just look at the diagram. And would you ask the Lord, is there an area that I'm neglecting that you want me to focus more on? And then if the Lord is saying, yeah, this is, I want you to focus on this, would you ask your Lord, what's the first step? How can I take a step towards following you in that? Lord, so we're going to play music here. I'll give you about 30 seconds just to talk to your Lord about how your life of following him is going. And then I'll come and close in prayer. Join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your mercy to us. Lord, we thank you that our relationship with you is not just you give us lots of work to do and we go do it by ourselves. That's just not how it is. You're a God who loves us and walks with us as a father with a child. And so, Jesus, we want to please you. We want to follow you with our lives. And we just admit that there's so many areas where we fall short and we don't even know how to move forward. But will you guide us, Lord, so we grow a little bit at a time? And will you be pleased with our faltering efforts to walk with you? We thank you that you have removed all of our sin as Christians by your death for us. And now you just invite us to, to walk with you. Help us to do it in a way that pleases you. Even this week, will you be pleased as we seek to follow you above all else. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.